Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. So I want to share more of an exhortation to press on 2022 as we start a new year. Philippians 3:13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and in anything, if you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Paul really reveals the secret to his success. Now, if you have a message title, "The Secret to Success," your book or something, everyone say, "Well, I better buy that book. I want to be a success." But really, he boils things down to one thing. This one thing I do, or this is a principle that I operate according to, and that is I let go of what's happened yesterday and continue to reach for the things that God has before me, pressing on toward the mark of the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the call of God's first to come to Him, and that our lives on this earth bring glory to Him. That is the high call of God. And He's pressing toward that. I say repeatedly, my goal is to stand before the Lord and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you do have an ultimate goal. You may or may not know what it is, but that's mine. Everything's working towards that end. Everything that I'm doing, everything and how I live, to know that I've done the will of God, I've kept the faith, I've run the race, I've finished the course, and to then receive that crown of glory from the Lord for having walked with Him and served Him and fulfilled that which He put me on this earth to do. Now, for some people, maybe their ultimate goal is to get a lot of money and just die in a retirement luxury place or something, or to play golf every day of their life at the end, or whatever. But there's nothing in the natural that can be a substitute for what God had intended for us, which is eternity in His presence in heaven, having our life carrying the testimony of Jesus, where it continues to bring glory to God. So he's saying, this is my secret. This is the one thing I do. I let go of the things that are behind me. Now, the things behind us can be either negative or positive. Obviously, you have to be able to overcome the negative things that you encounter. There would be many who would look back over 2021 and say, "Well, that was a bad year." Or maybe even 2020. "Well, that was a bad year." Well, in some ways, there were some bad things going on. But if you're walking with the Lord, there's always the availability of the joy of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord can still be there, even though you encounter tribulation or trials or hardship. In fact, we need to have a right perspective and attitude about tribulation and trial. James 1:2 says the trying of your faith works patience, or it activates perseverance in our life. And what you believe is put to the test when the trial comes. Therefore, the trial serves a good purpose, not that God's causing it. It's on the earth. There's tests and trials all around us. It could be devils, it could be circumstances, it could be sin, it could be just need. There can be various reasons for trials. This year, there are various parts of the country where there were natural calamities. Just recently, wildfire sweeping across Colorado. Having friends out there immediately look, you know, to see where in Colorado. Because they said it's 100-mile-an-hour gust of wind blowing like the length of a football field in like 2 seconds. So you have people losing homes. You had the tornadoes ripping up through Kentucky and Arkansas and those states. You had a hurricane down in Louisiana. Those were circumstantial things. And then you have like COVID virus, which, you know, part of the curse on the earth around about. And we have things like inflation and so on and so forth. And we could look at any of those kind of things and say that's a trial. And what it will do is put your faith to the test. Okay, well, now what? You're in this situation. You're going through something. Now what? What do you believe? And we want to develop the habit and the discipline that with everything we encounter in this life, we look at it according to how God looks at it. Whether it's a circumstance, well, it's an opportunity. God can provide another house for the one to just burn up in a fire. It's an opportunity. You lose your job, he can get you another one. Better paying. You know, sometimes people don't change jobs because, well, you're kind of comfortable and they don't know why I like it or not. But if you lose a job, well, you have to. You're forced into it. And many a people end up starting a business where they had a dream for that after they got laid off from the comfortable paying job. And they step out in faith into something that was a desire in them. But the pressure of the situation caused them to say, what do I believe? I believe that God wants me to have my own business. And okay, well, how are you going to do that, honey? God will provide. Where are you going to get the money to do that? God will provide. And there's many a wonderful testimony where that's how it played out for people, including some of you here. The things that we would see as negative or bad, we can react negatively to it and let it begin to dominate us or bring us into a negative state of fear, sorrow, depression, and so forth, discouragement. Or we can look at it through the eye of faith and begin to declare what God would say about it and turn it for the glory of God. Turn it for good. So when we begin to want a comfortable life, or we want it easier, when we begin to adopt that thought process, then in your mind you begin to dread the tribulation or the challenge. Oh no, here we go again. This again, oh, I got to deal with this. That's the type of reactions. That is, if you're reacting that way, then that is reflective that you're not really looking at it through the eyes of faith. And even when it comes with people, and the Lord's been challenging me to this more so, to see them through the eyes of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That Jesus took our sin, the sin of humanity, upon himself and shed his blood to pay for the sin of every human being. And anyone who comes under conviction power can be saved. You know, not to look at someone and say, well, they're so rotten, the Lord couldn't even save them. Their mother doesn't even love them anymore. You know, don't let yourself think like that. Anyone could be saved. And many of the great testimonies that you hear of the Lord's deliverance was somebody who came to this place of knowing they're a filthy, dirty, rotten sinner. You see, if you don't realize that, you might not come to repentance. But when we realize, I deserve hell and death, but Jesus, in the grace and mercy of God, gave his life to deliver me out from that. Praise God, I'm saved. Well, Paul said, this one thing I do, I let go of the things behind me. Don't hang on to the negative things. If you don't forgive other people, you bind yourself to their sin. And that's where the entry point for things like bitterness come into our heart and into our life, because there's things we won't let go. We are commanded to forgive. Faith works by love. When the Lord spoke about whatever we ask when we pray, believe we receive it, he immediately said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father in heaven can forgive you. Faith works by love. So we have to deal with everything of the past in God. If it's something that would bring fear, we need to look at it through the eye of faith. Here's why I don't need to be afraid of this. Because Jesus is my provider, my healer, what have you. My protection. If it's someone sins, we must release them. Well, I thought I released them. Well, if you don't forgive someone, merely seeing their face agitates you. Hearing their name, there's a bristling going on the inside. Sometimes people, they might have forgiven and go through the act of forgiving and pick it back up. If you begin to meditate on what people have done to you, it will get bigger in your mind. Whatever you're meditating on gets bigger. That's why it's very important to develop the habit of going to sleep in peace, not worrying about anything, and not holding anything against anyone. Go to sleep in peace, then you wake up in peace and you're in a position to hear the voice of God. But if you go to sleep watching murder mysteries and meditating on that, well, you might have some bad dreams that night. I'd use that as an illustration. Because sometimes, you know, we're thinking about something we shouldn't be. If you're thinking about worrying about not paying bills through the night, that's still there in your soul, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So we learn the secret moving forward in life is to deal with everything that's of your past, everything that's happened. Again, whether it comes to forgiveness or things that would bring fear. But then there's something else. And what Paul's talking about here is your success. Your success. And this comes out in the previous verses where he begins to speak about having no confidence in the flesh. He said, if anyone or to have confidence in the flesh, he could more. And he begins to give account of some of the things and how he was blameless according to the law. He tried so hard to do everything perfectly. And he was so zealous for God, he thought that the church was false and he was persecuting the church out of his zeal for God. You know, you can be zealous and be wrong. You can be pursuing something wholeheartedly, but because your knowledge is wrong, you're pursuing the wrong thing. So verse 7, he says, the things that were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. All that he had attained, his success in the natural, he had to let go. In the natural, he was a very accomplished and successful man. He was like the very best student under a teacher named Gamaliel. And he was an excellent, Paul himself, Saul of Tarsus, teacher of the law. Every little detail he knew. But he says, I count that loss for knowing Jesus. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win or know Christ. Now, when you have something that you would view as a success in the natural, the human tendency is to trust in it. It is to create identity in it. And then pride comes with that. And pride will bring about a fall. Pride will cause us to not trust in God, but to trust in ourselves. And this runs so deep in the heart of man. You can be going along at a certain point and begin to gain some recognition or what you would view as success, and then begin to form an identity around that. Now, I enjoy sports, in particular football, and right now is the end of the college season and coming close to playoffs with professional football. And one of the things that it's become more and more grievous to me with sports is the fueling of pride. Now, in a competition like that, really, the objective is to beat your opponent, which is to say, I am better than you. I am the best. I am better. And at the very heart of that is evil. To want to promote yourself as better and best. Now, in terms simply of athletic ability, you know, there's nothing wrong in saying, well, who's the fastest, or, you know, to have the goal of scoring the most points in a particular type of match or game, what have you. That's fine. That's not really a problem. But for most people, the driving thing is to say, I am the best. And I remember a few weeks ago, I saw like a highlight thing, and there was a wide receiver for a professional football team. It was close to the end of the game, and he caught a pass and gained a little bit of ground. And so many of these guys, no matter what they do, they have to get up and do some dance saying, look at me, and draw attention to themselves. It really rubs me every time I see it. It just rubs me. It's all about you. You know, you had like 10 other guys on the field with you. And if any one of them didn't do their job, you would have got smashed. But anyway, this guy gets up and the clock's winding down. And he has to do his little jig. Look at me, look at me, look at me. And seconds tick off the clock. And they don't have enough time to run an extra play to score when they were close to scoring. Now, I would hope he got reamed out afterwards, screamed at or what have you, but I don't know if coaches are allowed to do that anymore. But anyway, there was a college coach by the name of Joe Paterno, and he coached our beloved Penn State for like 100 years. I think it probably was at least 50. But anyway, he wouldn't let anyone put their name on a jersey. And if anyone did something to draw attention to themselves, and I saw it before, best player on the field, do something like that to draw attention, he'd take them out of the game and put them back in. You're a team. We're playing as a team. It's not about you. And he was like really, really strict. Now, he was the winningest coach of all time. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. There's none of this hot rod stuff. But you have so many people, their lives are so meaningless, so void of integrity and purpose, that to do something just athletic, it's all about them. And then how much money they get and the bling and being on TV and what have you. And that's all really amounts to nothing. When it comes to eternity, none of that goes with anyone. But the flesh of man will just relish in his victories and a success and not keep moving forward. I remember hearing a story of a man named Ben Johnson, and this was maybe around 92 or somewhere. He was the fastest man in the world. He trained, and he was a sprinter, you know, the 100-meter dash, whatever they called it. And he won that race and was crowned fastest man in the world. And that was his goal in life. And after that, he had no other goals. And he entered into severe depression because that was his life. And once he had attained that, the praise of men did not fill the void that was there. There was a man named Mel Gibson who was a famous actor. And he had attained wealth and recognition worldwide, great wealth, but was empty and was about to commit suicide. I think he was going to jump off a bridge or something. Well, he ended up giving his heart to Jesus and made the movie The Passion of Christ, which we just saw some flick about that. We didn't watch the movie again, but it was in 2004. I think it was a review of the year type of thing. And they mentioned when that came out, that had a huge impact from a certain perspective of the crucifixion of Christ. But here you have someone in the natural, all the accolades, all the praise, whose life is empty. For us, the only thing that will truly satisfy is Jesus Christ, the fruit that he can produce within us, the fruit of the Spirit. And we have to keep pressing on, reaching forward for that, knowing that we're pleasing God and that we're fulfilling his call and his work. He said, I just want to be found in him with his righteousness. Verse 9, through the faith of Christ, a righteousness by faith, not by my perfect works, that I might know him. Knowing him, that's why you were created. God wanted a family that would know him. And to know him is to know his resurrection power and enter into the fellowship of his suffering. Now, that's not something you hear people say, God, help me to really know your suffering more. But as we go on in the Lord, to go on in love is to know suffering, because greater love lays down one's life for others. And you might suffer rejection or lack of appreciation or persecution as you're giving yourself in love. And that's the suffering of Christ that is speaking of here. He said, I want to understand what it is to love like Jesus, even though I'm being persecuted for it or attacked for it. Now, he uses this term down verse 13 or 14. I press on toward that mark for the prize of the call of God. To press on is to persevere in the face of opposition. There's always going to be opposition. To move forward in love is not to go into a deeper emotional experience, but in the laying down of your life. And there will be people who won't appreciate it, who are going to spit in your face and pull the hair of your beard out, like they did with Jesus, whip you and so forth. But more commonly, it's just the rejection. For most people, they can't stand the feeling of rejection. But if you're going to love people, there's times that's going to come. And we have to press on in love no matter what. With circumstances, no matter what, evil doers will continue to be evil doers. the solution is not to get rid of all the evildoers. The solution is to grow in faith and love, that no matter what we encounter, we're going to keep moving forward. There can be no retreat in our mind, and especially no quit. No quit. I admire people who won't quit. Sometimes there'll be commercials come on for things like Wounded Warriors and some of those. And you have, and you know, a lot of the stories are the same, where a soldier got legs blown off in Iraq or what have you, and there are certain people helping them. And every time I see those kind of commercials, I think, I admire you, sir. You didn't quit. It would be easy to say, I just give up. My life's over. But they press on. And there's many others with many other things. I'm just using that as an example, where we have to have the mind not to quit. Many of the great business successes through history, they say, have been bankrupted a few times before they hit the pinnacle of their business success. That's just part of their education. As long as you don't quit, you keep learning, you can rise up above it again. But if we allow discouragement upon us, we can say, oh, I'll never rise back out of this. Job, he ended up where he was, but God restored everything double after he repented. He got up and went on again. As you live your life out, things are always changing around us. Relationships change. People live, people die. You have things change, economies and so forth. And there is a purposing of the heart, I will continue to press on. And as a Christian, you have eternal hope of standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. You may have messed up your life to this point. Start today. Yes. Start toward that goal today. I don't care how bad you messed up, how much sin you've been in, how deep you've gone down. You can start anew. You can start afresh. There's always hope for us. The key is how we finish. God remembered people how they finished, not all the mistakes they made. Abram, took him 25 years to get into that place of faith to have that son Isaac. Abraham struggled with unbelief, but God remembers him as the man of faith. He's looking at us as finishers and remembers us accordingly. So as we move forward in 2022, we need to do so with a heart to persevere. I will look at all things the way God sees them. I will deal with everything that's happened, success and failure alike, hurts, sins, all, get it all under the blood and move forward in faith. Keep moving forward. Keep reaching forward for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, that's what I have to share with you. Let's begin to praise Him. No matter what you're going through, been through, where you've been, there is a place of victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is hope for us in Jesus Christ. His blood purchased our redemption. Sin has no power over us. Satan's been defeated. Circumstance can be turned around. No matter what your need is, God is greater. Again, the man of faith sees everything as opportunity. So as we praise Him, declare your needs as God's opportunities today and release faith. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you while we minister to Him. Hallelujah.